called Prison Perspectives, and we looked at the book of Philippians last time and listened to the Apostle Paul give us some guidance. You know, it's one thing to get encouragement from someone who's everything's going well, but it's a whole other thing to get encouragement from someone who's sitting in a jail. And Philippians chapter 4 is set one of the most encouraging chapters in the Bible from a man who's in a cold, wet Philippian jail. Well, we're going to continue our series this morning, and we're going to be looking at prayer. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 12 as we continue our prison perspective. And Acts chapter 12, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. If the church is being the church, they will suffer a little bit of harassment. Amen. If you are being who God wants you to be, you will suffer a little harassment. In fact, Paul told Timothy, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Amen. If you're not suffering persecution, you might use that as a thermostat to ask if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. So then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. Eddie, there's your assignment. Peter was thrown in jail. And so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered to him four squads of soldiers to keep him. The King James tells us what kind of squad it was. It was a squad of four soldiers, so four times four. There were 16 men to guard this one preacher. That's about even. Me and 16 guards, I can handle them. You can handle them too, can't you? And so these 16 men, they would put two in front and two on the outside, and then they would do shifts around the clock. That's why they needed 16 of them. So really, four guards are guarding him. Two are where he's at, and two are on the outside. And they figure, you know, these four guys can protect and guard this one man, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Verse 5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. What kind of prayer? Prayer was made by the church unto God for Peter, without ceasing. Prayer was made by the church unto God without ceasing for Peter. Thank you, Eddie. Did you guys hear what I said? Prayer, unceasing, unwavering, unstoppable prayer was made by the church and the God for Peter. Peter is in prison. We're talking about prison perspectives. Everybody has prisons. Sometimes they're prisons of our own making. Sometimes they're drug addictions or pornographic addictions or whatever kind of addictions. Sometimes they're natural bars. Sometimes we make wrong choices. There are people in jail today who are serving the Lord, who found the Lord in prison because they made wrong choices. But I don't want to necessarily spend a lot of time talking about the prison today as much as the power over the prison bars. Amen? Because the church is the power of God on the earth. Amen? And the power of God on the earth is not the building the church. It is when the church, you and I, come together in prayer, fervent, constant prayer, we have the power to move the hand of God. Amen? Not that God is our puppet, but prayer was made by the church and a God for Peter. And God began to change the situation. And when you and I come together in prayer, fervent, serious prayer, I'm not talking about a now I lay me down to sleep prayer. I'm not talking about a thank you, Lord, for this food, you know, through the lips, over the gum, look out, stomach, here it comes, right? I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about travailing in prayer. I'm talking about praying through like them old-timers talked about. You'll never have a breakthrough until you have a prayer, pray through, amen? You know, and how many of you guys have ever heard the term push before? It stands for pray until something happens. I've seen T-shirts. I made up my own years ago called Rugs, because I know nobody's heard of that one because I made it up. It stands for read until God speaks. You need a word from God, but people don't want to read their Bible. Read until God speaks. Pray until something happens. Amen? There's some theology for you this morning. Now, listen. Prayer was made by the church. That means they had to say, hey, I think we ought to get together and pray for Peter. What do you think? I think you're right. Why don't you tell Sally, and I'll tell Bill, and have Bill tell Fred, and let's get everybody together and have a prayer meeting for Peter. Well, why are we doing that? Peter's the man of God. Peter's in jail. Doesn't matter if he's a man of God, he's in jail. Do you know someone that's in a prison this morning? I got the answer for you. The answer is not the attorney down the street. The answer is not bailing him out of jail. The answer is prayer was made by the church and of God for Peter. And godly men and women came together and began to travail in prayer. They begin to intercede in prayer. The Bible tells us Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. And we all want to be like Jesus, don't we? Well, then don't you think it's about time the church begins to intercede for each other? Isn't it about time that the prayer that the first century church did for Peter becomes the lifestyle of the last century church, and that you and I begin to come together in the spirit of unity and love and begin to make prayer and intercession for the people who are in the prisons of our life? Hallelujah. Prayer was made by the church and to God for Peter. Now, I want you to look at this verse again. When Peter was therefore kept in prison, but this constant prayer was offered to God for him. Constant prayer. It wasn't just, as I said, and now lay me down the street. They came together and they didn't have a pre-assigned time they were going to stop. Now, that really messes with our 21st century comfort zone. Well, I just can't do that. I have too many other responsibilities. If you were in prison, you wouldn't be saying that. See, the problem is with the church today is we're all selfish. We're selfish of our time. We're selfish of our wants and our desires. And we're more concerned about me than this person over here in this prison bars. And God is wanting to set some people free this morning, but he's waiting on the church to become the church. But prayer was made by the church and the God for Peter. And Peter needed prayer. Peter needed deliverance. You know, deliverance comes in many forms, doesn't it? Many of us need deliverance. I mean, there's people, you know, that have bad habits. Maybe you bite your nails. You say, well, that's just silly. Well, it's silly when you got your finger in your mouth on the right here, right? I mean, whether it's a big thing or it's a little thing, we all need deliverance. We all need something to be delivered from. There are prison bars in all of our lives. And everyone here needs prayer. You know, it's not just the pastor's job to pray for you. Everybody here needs prayer. Everybody here has baggage. Everybody here has burdens. There's people in their lives they're burdened for. Maybe they don't have a particular burden, but they have a loved one. Maybe they have a loved one in jail. And when that loved one's in jail, then they're burdened. When that loved one is addicted to drugs, then they're burdened. When that loved one, they don't know where they're at, they're homeless, then they're burdened. And we are to carry each other's burdens. We are to bear each other's burdens. It's time for the church to begin to pray without ceasing for those people who are in prison, those people who have burdens in their lives. Amen? Come on, church. Hallelujah. If we don't do it, it isn't going to get done. It's not like the Kionas are going to do it, or the Masons are going to do it. There's not another organization on the planet that's going to do what the church has to do. It's time the church become the church. It's time the church quit playing church and started praying through and seeing the hand of God move. Amen. Prayer was made by the church and to God for Peter. Come on. And when Herod was about to bring him out, now you know what that means, don't you? I mean, he killed James, and when he was about to bring him out, that means when he was about to bring him out and kill him, right? Have you ever noticed how sometimes God waits till 11:59? You know, he may not come when you want him to come, but I got news for you. He's never too late. I said he's never too late. He should have killed me. The devil should have killed me a long time ago, but I'm still here because at 11:59, God came through. And some of you guys would be history, but God came through at 11:59 for you. Amen. And so Herod is about to bring Peter out of the prison, and this constant prayer is going on by the church. They didn't say, well, you know, we read in the newspaper he's going to kill him at 8 o'clock. Our prayer didn't work. Let's all go home. Right? Constant prayer is still being prayed. While the devil is plotting your demise, constant prayer is being prayed for you. While the devil is plotting your demise, the church is supposed to be praying for you. While the devil is saying, I've got him now, prayer was made by the church and to God for Peter. It's never too late to pray. One time, I was at Burger King. And there was this little Catholic man that used to show up every day. The kids were little. They were real little. And I witnessed to this man, you know, and he was a devout Catholic. I believe he had some kind of relationship with God. I'm not going to judge the man. He seemed like he was sincere. And one Sunday morning before church, I was a children's pastor at the time, and we had crazy hair day. Because that's what children's pastors do. And my kids had color in their hair, and I had a big old curly afro on. I just wore it into Burger King. I didn't care. Big old curly afro. So here I've been coming in preaching to this Catholic man, and he had black on and big crucifix hanging, very religious man. And he said, What is going on? I said, it's crazy hair day. All the kids have crazy hair. I'm the pastor. I can't show up and not have crazy hair. I said, you have to have gimmicks to get kids' attention at church. We're competing with George Lucas and Star Wars. He said, has it come to that? I said, yes, it has. It has come to that. But, you know, sometimes people say the same thing about prayer. You know? Because they try everything first before they pray. Oh, they're going to repossess my car. Maybe I could go over here and refinance this, and then I can borrow this money, and then I'll have enough to pay it another month. They won't refinance my car. Oh, that didn't work. Well, maybe I can talk to my cousin Larry, and maybe he can... Oh, that didn't work. Well, I guess I'll pray. Has it come to that? Has it come to that? Prayer is always, with many people, a desperate last hope when it should be our first priority. I can do many things after I prayed, but I can do nothing until I've prayed. And prayer was made by the church and a God for Peter. And Herod is about to bring him out. But that night, everybody say that night. That night. Glory to God, that night. It wasn't another night, it was that night. This is the night. Now prayer has been made by the church and the God of Peter, but in the prison cell, that night. Starting to sound like a black minister now. That night. That's it. It was the afro that did it, sister. Now I start moving around, see. That night, are you hearing what I'm saying? Look, I'm not here to put on shenanigans. I'm just here to say there is a night that comes for the child of God who has paid the price and prayed the price. When that night comes, everything you prayed begins to happen. Amen? And that night may come a week from now. It may come a month from now. It may come 10 years from now. But you don't stop praying. You don't stop believing. You don't stop holding on, because that night will come. That night. That night, Peter is snoring. He's in jail and he's sleeping. I love that. You know, some people say that faith is about being all pumped up and everything, but sometimes faith is sleeping. Years ago, I was in the Air Force, and we had went to visit my parents in Tulsa. I was stationed in Abilene, Texas at the time. And I was woke up in the middle of the night by my mother, who said that my dad was having chest pains. And I said, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Well, it won't stop. Been doing this for 2 hours now, and so we're going to go to the emergency room. I said, well, I'll drive you. No, it's not so bad that he can't drive, but it's, I'm like, no, it's all right. We're already dressed. They're waking me up as they're going out the door, you know. And I said, well, no, it's not that bad, but we want to have it checked out. So they went. My wife said, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going back to sleep. And I did. Father, in the name of Jesus, stop that heart from hurting and heal my dad. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter was sleeping. I think I'd just fallen back asleep. Here they come. What did the doctor say? We didn't even get there. It stopped. Woo! Prayer was made by the church and the God for Peter. Peter is that night. Peter's sleeping. The sleep of faith. Bound with two chains between two soldiers. The guards before the door were keeping the prison. You know, that reminds me of the scripture where they came to Herod. Said, this deceiver Jesus claims that he's going to raise, so we want some guards by the tomb. And by then, Herod's kind of got this whole thing figured out, I think. I mean, not Herod, but Pilate. Pilate's kind of got this thing all figured out, and he says, take your guards and make it as secure as you think you can. I can hear the tone in his voice, can't you? Yeah, secure. I mean, I saw the lightning and thunder and the sky turned dark and heard the veil rent when he died on the cross, and my wife's had dreams about him. Make it as secure as you think you can. And so, they were keeping the prison. These are experienced Roman soldiers. We're going to keep the prison. We got this. Yeah. We're going to keep the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side. Wake up, Peter. Arise quickly. Chains fell off. Man, wouldn't you like to see Steven Spielberg do the Book of Acts? Chains fell off. And the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. He said to him, put on your garment and follow me. And so he went. Notice, so he did, so he went. See, that's a picture of obedience, isn't it? God says it, you do it. Amen. He didn't ask, who are you again? Where'd you come from? Are you like, was it the pepperoni pizza I had the night? What, am I dreaming? What? So he did. So he went. And he followed him. And he didn't know what was done by the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. And when they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened of its own accord to them, one of those Obi-Wan Kenobi things. And they went out and they went down the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all of the expectations of the Jewish people. So he doesn't really know. And you know, isn't that the way it is with the Lord? Sometimes you don't even know what God's doing in your life until after he did it. And you go, wow, I think this was the Lord. You know, some of you guys, you weren't even supposed to be here this morning. And you're like, wow, I think this was the Lord. There's been people that have come up and spoken a word to you in due season, and later on you think about it and you say, you know, I really need to hear that. I think that was the Lord. And so often it comes afterwards because we're not expecting it to come from that certain source, or we're not expecting it to happen that certain way. We have these preconceived ideas of God's got to do this. We're going to have three songs, we're going to have an offering, and the guy's going to preach. But sometimes God doesn't follow the prescribed order of plans. Amen. and we don't understand what God's doing, and sometimes God doesn't do it the way we think he should. You know, we had Jesus Jam. I was visiting with Josh Allen, whose mother is the pastor of Love Life, and they provided all the electrical instruments. And he was telling me about how his wife was diagnosed with cancer, Ginger. She's the gal that kicked it off and played some keyboard, remember, at the beginning. And he said, I was praying that God would heal her divinely, and the Lord said, I'm not going to do it that way, but I'm going to do it. And you know what he said? She went through all of the chemo and all of that, but she never got sick. She never lost her hair. She never had any of the symptoms that people have being irradiated by this stuff. That was God. God doesn't always do it the way you think he's going to do it, but he's God. Amen. I said he's still God. And so Peter, you know, comes to himself and realizes that God did this, that he thought it was a vision, and it turns out it wasn't. And so he came to himself and he said, now I know the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me. Now, God sent the angel, but the angel was on assignment. And the angel was on assignment because prayer was made by the church and to God for Peter. Amen. So he's saying the angel did it, but he doesn't know there's someone. And, you know, I really don't care whether it's an angel or whether it's a person or what it is. I just know that I need prayer, and you need prayer, and we need prayer. Amen. And for every prison that the devil tries to put me in, the church can pray me out. Can I say that again? For every prison that the devil tries to put you in, we can pray you out. Amen. If we, as a body of believers, come together and make intercession, we can pray you out. Hallelujah. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, John Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness. She didn't open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. And they said to her, you're beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. And so they said, well, it's got to be his angel. Now, I want you to know something here. These people didn't have as much faith as they thought they had, because when God answered the prayer, they didn't believe it. God knows how weak we are in the faith. I mean, you know what? If we had all the faith that we think we have, there would probably be a lot more done. But God knows what little faith we have, he can work with. Amen? And so just because you say, well, I don't have faith like you have. No, but you got faith like you have. See, the Bible says God gives every man a measure of faith. And if you start comparing your faith to someone else, that's wrong. I don't have gifts you have. You don't have gifts I have. Everybody's got a measure of faith. You just use what you got. Amen? And this church, this praying church, this first century praying church, this first century constant praying church, this first century constant praying church unto God for Peter caused God to send an angel and open the prison doors. And even though when they saw it, they didn't believe it, they still were a praying church. Amen? So don't sell yourself too short. I can pray. I can't be God, but I can be me. I'm not in charge of delivering. I'm not in charge of healing. I'm not in charge of parting the sea. I'm in charge of praying. And if I do my part, he is faithful to do his every time. So they think at first, it's not Peter. It's got to be his angels. Now, Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. It works! It works! You know, the good thing about answered prayer is it always increases your faith to do it more next time. Amen. It's called baby steps. Right? So they were astonished, but monitoring to them with his hands to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and he went to another place. Now, as we begin to close, I want to remind you of about three things tonight. Number one, and I think you got this part, prayer was made by the church and to God continually for Peter. Right? The second thing is, and I said this too, everybody has a prison of some kind. Right? But the third thing, and the most important thing is that when Peter was delivered, he testified that the angel of God did it. Amen. And lest our prayers be hindered by our own conceit, we have to understand that my prayer is not God. My prayer is my prayer. God is God. Amen. And when God answers my prayer, then I always have to point back to God. The Lord sent his angel. He didn't say, well, bless you, brothers. You prayed for me. You're so spiritual. I just love your spirituality. You guys are so spiritual, right? He said, the Lord sent his angel. Amen. It's all about God. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about God. You know, when we read the book of Revelation, we see that John sees this angel and he falls down before him. And the angel says, don't worship me. I'm your fellow servant. Worship the Lord. Worship God. Amen. Every angel always points you back to God. And as Christians, we need to point everyone back to God. Amen. We need to tell them, you know what? Yeah, praise God, I prayed for you. And I'm glad God answered the prayer. But don't get your eyes on me. Get your eyes on God. It's all about God. Amen. And so this morning, as we come on up, Nola, as we begin to close, I just challenge you, each one of you, that you begin to think about how God wants to reprioritize some of your time. Amen. How he wants to cause you to be a man or a woman of prayer. Amen. That God has a plan for you. You know, so often the church talks about the church going here and doing this and going here and doing that. But you know, every great revival was won on its knees. Every one of them. You know, whole cities have been changed by revivals, but those revivals begin by men and women of God on their knees in prayer. And so it's time the church become the church again. And all of that external stuff means absolutely nothing until we come together and begin to travail in prayer. As we come together and begin to pray in the unity of the Spirit, we will see miracles happen. Amen. We will see prison bars open. We will see lives changed in our family, in our friends, in our community, as the church begins to pray, as we begin to cry out to God and see the hand of God move. And when it does, we'll point to him. When, after the resurrection, Jesus is on the seashore. They fished all night. Caught anything? No. Throw your nets over on the other side. They caught a bunch. And John looked at Peter. And he said, it's the Lord. You know, when you and I begin to pray, and God begins to move, and prison doors begin to open, we too will be able to look at each other and say, it's the Lord. Look what the Lord has done. Look what God has done. I was here, now I'm here. He was here, now he's here. Lives changed. Miracles happened. Prison doors opened because the church began to pray. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Father, we love you this morning and we thank you for the power of prayer. Lord, let this verse be our verse this week and in the weeks to come. Prayer was made by fill in the name, your name. Prayer was made by Roger. Prayer was made, fervent prayer was made by fill in your name. To God for fill in the name. I want you to just take a minute to think about a person in your life that you know is in prison. Maybe the prison is fear, doubt, unbelief, jealousy, envy, lust, greed, addiction, whatever that prison is. Just picture that person in your mind right now. And now picture the Lord looking at you and asking you, will you pray for him? Will you pray for her every day this week? Will you commit some time outside your busy schedule to begin to really intercede for this person? If you will pray, the Lord is saying, I will send my angel and open those bars. If you will pray, I will deliver. If you will pray, I will break the chains. If you will pray, I will set them free. I think the Lord would be honored if you're willing to make a commitment like that this morning to that person in your life. And as you do, when you see God answer that prayer, your faith will grow. And then what started out as the pastor giving you a challenge will then become one of the greatest joys you will ever experience, a life of prayer. And so, as we pray this morning, make that your commitment. Father, as we close today, we thank you, Lord, for the challenge to be men and women of prayer. And Lord, we take that challenge this morning freely, not begrudgingly. We don't want to make an oath that we can't keep or a vow that we won't keep. But Lord, we've counted the cost. And with your help, we're going to become the men and women of prayer you want us to be. Lord, we know that you're able to break the bars and the chains and set that person free. And so we take that challenge this morning to begin to intercede, begin to pray on a daily basis, a little longer, a little more, and witness the amazing power of God through prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a big hug before you go.